Jesus is an authority. So he said, do you understand that it's a one-payer system? When this is all said and done, if you're operating out of my kingdom, this is how the health system functions. Now, man, the difference between man's one-payer system and God's one-payer system is one's been paid for, the other has to be paid for. One has been paid for, the other can never be paid for. Amen. Anytime man tries to get it done right, they end up going into a worse mess than they ever got into before, but God's system is much better. So then he said to me, David, yes, sir. He said, do you know that I build walls? Really? He said, yeah, I build walls. Do you know the seas can't go over the land because I put a wall around the land that the seas can't overwhelm it? Read it in the scriptures. He put a wall up. He said, do you know that Israel right now has a hedge of protection about it? Because if it didn't, it would be overwhelmed by the nations around it. But they can't do it. Why? God put a wall up. Ah, glory to God. How great is our God. Then he said, go into Job. I said, yes, Lord. I'm going to read it to you. Hallelujah. Here, so Satan answered the Lord and said, you know, God is speaking to Satan and Satan is speaking to God. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, does Job revere God for no purpose, no reason? Let me ask you a question. We talk about revering God and worshiping God and loving God. Is there a reason that we do it? Is there a reason that we do it? And that's what Satan is saying. Oh, hey, Job, I understand why Job worships you, and I understand why Job does everything you ask. There's a reason why. He said, what? Have you not made a hedge around him? Have you not put a wall around him? Oh, come on. God's a wall builder. Oh, glory to God. We're going to get it one of these days. You understand there's two ways of living life, one out of the kingdom and one out of the world. There's a worldly system, and there's a God system. Does that mean the wall he wants to build down there? I'm not talking about that. I don't care about that wall. See, my citizenship isn't here. You understand? I don't own this land. God does. We learned that when we were dealing in finances, that God owns everything. God owns Mexico, Guatemala, he owns Honduras, he owns all the land, all of Canada, Alaska, and Russia and wherever. God owns it all. Hate to tell you this, for those who are very nationalistic, if you want to be nationalistic, be a citizen of heaven, of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if this land was mine, if this was my, he said, we'd fight for it. But he said, it's not. My citizenship is in heaven. Amen? If you think that any man is going to come into power in this country or any country and bring peace and prosperity to it, there's only one who can do that. He's called the Prince of Peace. In him there is prosperity. In the kingdom of God, his financial system is one that is guaranteed. Don't lay up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven where raw rust and the thief can't come and steal it, and you don't have to worry about it. But as long as we continue to try to live in two different worlds, we're going to be divided and never find the joy and the peace of living in the kingdom of God he instructed us to have, and he wants us to have. I'll tell you this. I believe that we're under a better covenant than Job was. You understand? I think we're under a better covenant. So if God put a hedge about Job, what do we got? I'll tell you what we got. We got the blood. Much better than a hedge. We got the blood. We're washed in the blood. We're covered in the blood. We're kept by the blood. We have victory by the blood. It's the blood that's going to get us into heaven. Amen? As long as you got the blood, you don't have to be afraid. Amen? The Bible says very clearly, the life is in the blood. I wanted to go into blood songs this morning, but I said, they've been up there long enough. You've got to let them go. You get into the blood songs, man, the devil hates blood songs. He just hates them. And don't think, and yes, you're right, Mark was right, he's a toothless lion. But it's not the bite that kills you. It's the words that he speaks. You understand that? I said that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's not true. Words are more devastating than any broken bone you ever had. Words will stay with you long after the bone has been healed. Those words will either condemn you or propel you to a greater future. Amen? Hallelujah. So, I say to you this morning, fear not. Don't be afraid. The key to having prosperity of soul is to have an orderly mind. One that is lined up perfectly in order. So that when things do come our way, we don't run around screaming, yelling, carrying on, crying, just being falling apart. We're standing on the rock. How to bring peace to the mind, the soul. When the soul's at peace, it has the ability to prosper. But as long as there's chaos in the soul, in the mind, the will, the emotions, whenever you're moved from this wave to that next and that is going on, you're not in stability. And where there's no stability, there's no growth. Can you imagine planting a seed, keep taking it up out of the ground to see if it's working? And that's what happens. God planted a seed in our life. And because of the chaos and the turmoil and the storms of life, we get pushed around here and there and this and that. And all of a sudden, where is God in all of this? God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Jesus is the same. He hasn't changed. The word is the same. It hasn't changed. What has changed? Us. We came off the rock and we started playing in the sand. The sand doesn't stay the same. I happened to be watching a program on I don't know, this documentary. And they're building over in Kuwait the whole city in the desert and bringing the ocean into it. And it's going to be port city-like. And so they had to figure out how to stabilize the sand, because once they started digging the sand, underneath it was like quicksand almost. And it wouldn't hold anything up. That's right out in the desert, by the way. Why? Why? Why would water have covered the desert? Anybody know? Was there a flood at one time that covered the whole earth? Amen? And it still had settled down and it sits underneath the earth. So they had to figure out a way to stabilize the sand. Otherwise, it just kept on sifting and moving and shaping. So they took this cranes. First they dug out, then bought in more sand, then dug out and bought it. I mean, they're talking billions and billions of yards of sand. And then they got this crane, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember. I think it was like 12 tons on the end of the crane, and they would drop it, and they drop it, and they drop it. Then they move over to another one, drop it. And they had this whole pattern that they kept pounding that sand, trying to bring stability to that sand. Well, it will to a point, but eventually that sand is going to go back to where it was. They're building on it, thinking it's going to last forever. Anything man does not last forever. I hate to tell people that, as much as you want to believe that, it doesn't. So I watched them, and they're trying to build a whole city for, I don't know, 100,000 people or whatever it is. I'm not sure how many. I can't remember exactly. On sand. Let me explain something to you. Don't try to build your life on sand. Don't build it on your emotions. Don't build it on your feelings. Don't build it on your thoughts. unless they're in alignment with God's word. Jesus came. Well, let's go there. Go into Luke chapter, what do I, 4? Yeah, that's where I'm going to go. That was wonderful worship. Praise God. God is good. This was the first message I ever preached from the when the church began. The very first, and I'm not doing the whole message, so don't worry. I'm bringing you the scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. In Luke 4, chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus was handed a book, and out of it Isaiah was reading. He read out of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, if you want to look it up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to set you free. You understand? Not only to save that which is lost, and that's where true freedom comes in. When you really come to the Lord and you really experience a very presence. I mean, when we went in up here when the church was over here, not this church, but no, the first church I was in was over here in the American Legion upstairs. That first service was an Easter Sunday, and I cried through the whole service. I don't know what the preacher preached. I don't know anything. Why'd you cry? I'm not used to crying. I did it. I'm used to it more now than I ever was before. But we sat there, Diane and I, one experience with God. One experience with God. I can't even tell you what the experience was because I didn't understand it. I had no clue of what was going on. I was totally ignorant of the presence of God. I was totally ignorant of the ways of God. I had no idea who he was. I didn't have any, I had this mindset, oh yeah, he's God. Something happened. When Diane and I left that place, our whole lives changed in a complete other direction, completely. One experience with God. He came to set us free, and he did. And we've been free ever since. Have I been free from the calamities of this world? No. The spirit's alive because of Christ. The body's dying because of sin. This outward shell, this body, this is not who I am. One of these days I will experience the true freedom of what it means to be truly free. Like nobody except Jesus who came back from the grave. And he revealed what it's like to be free from the body. Even though he carried his glorified body. But he was free. We're bound and still. The effects of sin is still affecting our bodies. Slowly but surely they're dying, and they will. Unless the Lord comes back and we go home in a rapture, and that's another one. Sorry, I'm not going there yet. Or today. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus wants you to be free. The key to life and prosperity is freedom. The Bible says, Jesus said this. He said that all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. In other words, there's no rules and regulations in this religion or this relationship with God. We don't like religion, the word religion, but true religion is helping the widow and the orphan. That's what God said true religion is. To open your heart to the poor, those who are in need, that you're always there to help them. That's what true religion's all about. But a relationship with God is really about having freedom from the cares, the worries, the anxieties, the lying, roaring lion, the words being spoken. All of a sudden you come to a place of understanding that, you know what? This isn't the life God intended for me to live. There's a better life. There's a life that glorifies him, but it also glorifies me. You understand? God says, I won't share my glory with anyone, but know this. The same glory that was on Jesus, that God gave to Jesus, he gave to us. Is your life a glorified life? Is it a life that you can turn to someone and say, listen, look at me. I'm going to tell you what Jesus did for me. Look at me. Look at my life. Yeah, well, I see you got problems over here, and you got problems over there, and you got problems over here. Yeah, but I got no problems in here. And I got no problems here. Yeah, there's things going on in the world, and there will be. If we think we come to Christ and everything's going to be beautiful and wonderful, well, they are internal, but they're not outward. In this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, the Bible very clearly tells us. But Jesus came to set the captives free. If you go through there, and like I've always told you, God not only works in the spirit, he works in the natural. So when he said something like this, he said, Spirit, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor is who? Those without money? Yes. Because it was taught back then that unless you were rich, God wasn't for you. Amen? But it's also about the spirit. You can be poor in spirit until you come to Christ and receive the richness of God in you, which is the Holy Spirit of God. You're poor. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many houses you got. I don't care how many lottery tickets you win. You're going to be poor. Matter of fact, if you play the lottery, you'll probably be poor too. So, amen. I want you to know something. If you're going to invest in something, I'd rather invest in the kingdom than in the lottery. Amen. Which I did. I bought two tickets. I was there paying my gas, and there was all these people buying lottery tickets. But you hang around enough of that, you're going to become that. The more you hang around with the world, you're going to become like the world. Amen? I sat there and looked at it, and now they're sitting on my dresser reminding me, there's your $2. Go try to buy something with it. Ain't going to happen. Amen? So anyways, if you go through that, you understand that there's a natural and a spiritual side of God. He works in both ways. He is the spirit. God is a spirit, right? We learned that Wednesday. God is a spirit, but he also has a body. His name is Jesus. I mean, you know, Jesus is in heaven. He's got a body. Amen? Glory to God. And he has a spirit. Oh, yes, that's right. He has the spirit called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We were created in his image. We have a body. We are a spirit, and we have a soul. All right, let's go on. Go with me into Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. Now, how does that work for us? How are we going to get there? I'm not going to get there today, obviously. But I'm going to get in to some messages on getting peace. Soul realm peace, how to achieve it. Amen. This is how Jesus pointed us in the direction. In Matthew 11, verse 18 and 19. Is that where I want to be? That doesn't look right. Hallelujah. No. Where am I? All right, I'll tell you what it is. I messed up. Probably it is, 28 and 29. Yes, thank you. For all you, that's what I get for typing my, or writing out my own notes. Hallelujah. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen? Let me ask you a question. How often do you find rest for your souls? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Are you at peace? Are you at rest? Are you battling every day? Fears, cares, worries, anxieties? Are there things in your life overwhelm you at times and makes you want to just stop and hide and quit and walk away? that's not what it's about. Jesus didn't come for you to suffer that way. Amen? He came to set you free. He came to set you free. And the questions we all have are, well, how come he hasn't set me free from this yet? Maybe we haven't done what he told you to do. Come to me. That's not hard. It's not hard. Yeah, well, I'm saved. You can be saved and still not go to him. You understand that? You can still be saved and not go to him. If you don't find value in getting into his presence, you won't go there. If you find more value in watching the Giants lose, that's where you'll stay. You understand? He said, all you who labor, all you who are going, you're weary, you've been fighting life, and life has been fighting against you, and you've done your best, you've done everything you know to do, and it still seems as if nothing is working. You don't look for a joyful day, you don't look at getting out of bed in the morning is good, you don't go to sleep at night with a smile, you dread the next thought of what's coming next, the next words or the next bill or the next doctor's report or whatever it is. And you're bound in your mind, in the soulish realm. Your emotions are tuned to what's going on outwardly around you. And you don't see any hope for a future. You don't see any change coming. You see day after day the same boring thing, the same yuck. He came to set you free. The same lies of the devil. He says to you, you know, oh, it's not going to work. It never works for you. Every time you try something, it doesn't work. I can't tell you how many Christians live that type of life. He gave us life to enjoy. But if we're not living that life, if we're not getting that from him, who and where are we getting life from? Sometimes I think the Christian churches, what they've done is they separated God and this world. My life in the world and my God, he's going to save me, take me to heaven. But right now, it's my responsibility to do all this stuff down here, to get my life in order, to do everything I can. Not true. Not true. God's will for your life is to fully depend on him and trust him to provide for you all your needs to be met, including transforming the image you have up here of your life. Because if the image in your mind, your will, your emotions, if your image is a negative image, your outward appearance, your countenance, everything about you, your actions, your words, everything you do will follow the process of, look, if the mind and the will and the emotions are flowing in one direction, your heart, and because you did get saved, you got washed in the blood, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know that you're saved, and the Spirit of God in you is witnessing to you the truth of who you are in him, and your will and your mind and your emotions have not been dealt with, you become a house divided that cannot stand. Everything about your life will become separated into two. Over here is church on Sunday morning. Over here is the rest of my life. This is not about a Sunday morning service. It's about life every day of the week. That when you wake up in the morning, you have an expectation of something good coming your way. One word from God is sufficient to get you through the day. You understand that? One word of God could get you through the day. One joyful word from God, it says, I'm here. I'm with you. There's a battle going on, but don't worry. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let's see if I got it in here. The guy was talking about, take a picture of a yoke. And what it is oxen, two oxen, and there's a straight bar and two loops, and the oxen's heads are put through it, and they go together. And behind the oxen will more than likely be a plow. And behind the plow will be a man. Or someone. I don't want to be sexist and say, man, it could be a woman plowing the field. I don't know. This happened to be a picture of a man. And he said, get a picture of it. Number one is, when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, what he is saying is, as we go through this life, and I'm plowing, he said, notice that you're tied to Jesus, so you're not going through it alone. You understand that? Jesus and you are walking the same path. You're plowing the same field. So stop thinking that nobody else understands, because Jesus is with you. But what good is that? Everything. Amen. He said, in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not. I have overcome this world. What's overcoming this world? Even your faith. Faith in what? I ain't going through this alone. I'm not out here all by myself. God understands where I'm at. Jesus is there with me. He's helping me get through what I'm going through. You are going to go through things. Amen? You are going to go through things. Let me see if I can find what I want. Go with me to 1 Peter, I think it is. Do I have that written down? I don't, but I think that's where I want to go. I want to real quick, if that's the one I want. Yeah, listen to this. Verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8, 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? Listen what he says after that. Resist him. How do you resist him? How do you resist the lying devil? How do you resist him? Speak the word of God. Don't agree with him. If he said you're going to die, don't say I'm going to die. Say I'm going to live and proclaim the works of the Lord. Resist him by not saying what he says. Because as long as you come into alignment and agree with what he says and you speak it, it becomes who you are. You understand that? You have the power of life and death in your tongue. What you say will determine your future. Your future is in your mouth. Oh, that's not true. Okay. Look what you've been saying. Look where you're at. Did you try the other way? Try speaking life. Well, anyways, that's a long old loose. I don't want to go there right now. Okay, listen to what he says here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He isn't done because you're going through it. He's trying to tell you, if you will go with me through this thing, you will come out better than you went in. You understand? You'll come out better than you went in. Yes, you're going to go through some things. Yes, you're not going to get away from it. In this world is falling apart. It's getting worse and worse. As long as you hang your hat there on the world and want the world to stay right where it's at so you can get your hat when you come back, ain't going to be there. Somebody will steal it. You understand that? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Until you realize that I have to have this thing, in order with God, just like my spirit's in order with God. If my spirit isn't in order with God, then I'm not going to heaven. Remember what I told you a long time ago, you know, and I keep saying it over and over. Divine connection produces divine order. How do you keep divine connection? Word of God. How else do you get divine connection? The Word of God, the Logos, but the Rhema. The Rhema word. What's the Rhema word of God? What I told you this morning. during prayer, God started telling me about how he builds walls. He tells me about he has a one-payer health system. He had started talking to me about these different things. He said to me, when I said, Lord, I don't deserve your grace, he said, that's why it's called grace. Remember, God speaks to me. Does God speak to you? Amen? Because there's a lot of voices in the world. There's a lot of lying voices in the world that tell you you can't, you won't, and everything's going to be worse and everything's going to be bad. But Jesus said, fear not, for I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you yoke to me, where I go, you go. Well, Lord, you know, how can you allow me to go this way? But guess what? You ever watch the movie Sergeant York? That's probably you older guys and older women in it, so. The older women probably watch it because the older guys watched it, but every time I come down, I like to watch it anyways. The preacher came up to who was it? Who? No, not John Wayne. Gary Cooper. Thank you. Good guess, but not. It doesn't. Either way. And he's up plowing the field. Amen. He's plowing the field, and he says, the preacher goes, you know, he said, your father plowed this field before your grandfather plowed the field. And he said, and you're plowing the same field. And he said, you know, there's that big rock right in the middle. And he said, you keep going around the rock. He said, it's hard to follow a straight row when you constantly have to go around that rock. See, there's going to be rocks in your field. But the good news is this. God will remove the rock. Now, how does he do that? Well, with Gary Cooper at that time, a bolt of lightning had to hit him. Amen. He was on his way to kill somebody with his gun. God had a plan for his life, and the lightning came down, hit his gun, knocked him on the ground, tore up the gun. He ended up going into the church and got saved that night. Amen. And he went on from there, and God used him in many ways. But what I'm trying to get at, don't think there aren't some rocks in the field. But don't keep going around them. Let God deal with them. If you got some rock, what are the rocks? The hard places of your heart you haven't allowed God to plow through yet. The places where you think you're right without even consulting God. Interpreting the word for a personal use rather than interpreting it by the Spirit. And we all have done that. I've done it. I don't know about you. I have found more and more that I have allowed the Word of God become more of a law than of a grace. And in it we find life rather than be pounded to death by the written Word. Amen? So, he's saying, take my yoke upon me, because if you do, remember, he's tied to you and you're plowing together. Okay, what is the plow? Plow is the Holy Spirit. Who's the man in the back holding the plow? God. Everything comes from God by the Spirit through the Son. So the key is, Jesus said, come to me. You got to go to him. First of all, admit you need him. Not wait, listen to me. Not wait until something terrible comes. A lot of us do that. We go through life, we just live our lives, we do things we want to do, and we think everything's going to stay the same, so I'm just going to go. Then when the time comes and the battle comes, the storm comes, whatever it is, that's when we try to get close to him. Can you do that? Yes. But you're going to go through some awful, awful, awful things before then. You are going to be in turmoil. You're going to be beat up and torn apart. Can God make it right? Sure he can. But I don't know about you. I think the greatest suffering I've ever had has been from up here. I've been through heart attack, cancer. Had two operations on my side. Pain was so great I could barely get out of bed. But the turmoil that comes from up here when something goes really bad in my life, that's where the true battle was. The rest of it, you go through the pain for a while, but that up here, oh my goodness. So don't wait until that happens. You remember the story about when they were in the boat? And they were traveling and storms came. Disciples got all upset. Jesus was in the back sleeping. I mean, you know, he got tired. He had a body. Like us, he got tired. Unlike us, he never sinned. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But because he lived in this world, his body was going to decay and die just like everybody else if he didn't go to the cross. Amen. He wasn't going to live for all eternity down here with that body. So he was tired. He was sleeping in the back of the boat. What'd they say? Hey, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die here? Don't you care? Aren't you? How can you sleep when everything's going wrong in my life? Where is he if everything's not? Come on. But the response and the effect of that response didn't happen until what? They went to him. They had to go to him. They had to. Now, they physically went to him because can you physically go to God? Sure. Get on your face. Get on your face before God. There are certain things that we're going to bring. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to do anything, believe anything, or do anything. You really don't. Don't let anybody pressure you or force you to anything. So I always say, if you can't find it in here, if this isn't your truth, if this isn't the bed that you sleep with every night, if this isn't the comfort that comforts you, if this isn't what keeps you warm, if this doesn't give you food to keep you healthy and alive and strong, if this doesn't keep you prepared for what's coming in the future, I don't know what to tell you. I don't have answers. I have nothing. What I give to you, I give what the Lord has given to me. But what you can get from this is much greater than what I'm giving you. Because you'll get it straight from God. The Holy Spirit will speak to each and every one of you individually. I may just stir you up to go seeking it out. I may give you a little this or a little that that might help because I pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to get? But you have to get it yourself. You have to go to him. You have to get yoked up to him. You have to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I see the path ahead. Look, you can have a good path. You can see things and say, well, my life isn't so bad. I got a good job. I make good money. Or, you know, I got a wonderful family. My life isn't so bad. Well, praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. But there may come a day when you really need to know that whatever you ask him, he's there to fulfill your need. Not just because somebody told you that, because you're yoked up to him and you know that you have heard his voice and he speaks life to you. In 1 Kings, I'll show you. You know these scriptures and I'm just bring them to your remembrance, okay? Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Here's Elijah. He had just spent time, great victory over the prophets of Baal and Jezebel. Then Jezebel threatened him and he ran. Not going to go there. I know what everybody wants to say. I'm not going. In verse 11, Elijah's up in the mountain in a cave. Then God spoke to Elijah and said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. after the earthquake of fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still small voice. God wants to speak to you. That the noise of the roaring lion, the noise of the wind and the storms and the earthquakes and the fires and all of that drowns out the voice of God. We have to learn to get into His presence to hear His voice. And it doesn't matter what's going on in other people. I can be in the presence of God during worship here. A lot of times that's when He speaks to me a lot. Other people are singing and worshiping and God is speaking. I'm listening. I want to hear what He's got to say. I know. I've experienced it. I've seen it. When God speaks, my life changes. He doesn't always speak the same way. Sometimes it's just His presence. Just the awesome presence of God. Sometimes it's a voice. He speaks to me, literally. When He said to me, you know, I said to Him, Lord, I don't deserve Your grace. He said, that's why it's called grace. You know, that sounded like my voice. But it was His. Don't be confused. Train yourself to hear His voice. I told you this a long time ago. I remember a house we lived in, we were renting. There was keys to the front door and the back door, and they looked almost identical. And I never put them on a key ring. I always put them in my pocket. I pull them out. I said, Holy Spirit, tell me which key is the right one. 9 times out of 10, I'd have the right key. I train myself to hear His voice. You understand? I do. I train myself. I still do things like that. I want to know. There was a time when it was Christmas time. I told you the story, but you know it's a good story, so I enjoy it. And, it was Christmas time. Diane had been out shopping. She got all her stuff, all her Christmas stuff. She came in all excited. She said to me, guess what? God told me what to buy you. Really? Yeah, she said, I was all done shopping. I was on my way home, and God told me to go buy this for you. So I went and bought it. I said, that's good. I said, after I went to bed, she wrapped it, right? And she hid it. And I spoke to God, and God spoke to me and told me what it was. Right? I took a piece of paper, wrote down what it was, and I put it in the microwave. Next morning, we're all getting up first thing in the morning. You know, we all start opening presents. We got to the presents, and she got to the last one. She hands it to me. I said, God told me what it was. He said, oh, you wouldn't do that. I said, yes, He did. He told me exactly what it is. So I said, get up, go into the microwave. There's a piece of paper in there with what's on. Now, I didn't go looking at this. I did not ask. I did not seek it out. I didn't care. If you know me, I'm not into that, all that. But, I mean, that was just Diane's way of giving it anyway. So she got the piece of paper, and on it was a guitar. I can't play a guitar. Never could play a guitar. Still can't play a guitar. I still got the guitar. And I said, she looked at it, she goes, why would He tell you that? I said, for 2 reasons. One, He wants you to know that you heard His voice. Number 2, He wants you to know that I hear His voice. It's important. You understand? It's important because there's trust that builds up between the two of us because we both hear from God. So if I say something that says, I don't believe that's what God wants us to do, then I'll say, okay, because I trust that she hears from God too. Amen? If you want to make sure you're hearing from God, how do I know it's from God? Because His Word. My sheep know His voice, and the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. We know His voice. You know His voice. The key is being still enough. And the Scripture said, be still and know that I'm God. Be still enough. Find a way to get into a place of quiet. It doesn't mean you have to go into a prayer closet, although that might be what you need to do. But I speak to Him all day. I might be watching something on TV, and it's amazing what He does. When you see things, He shows you things out of that. You understand what I'm saying? It relates always back to the kingdom, always back to Him, always back to His Word. we're not living this life separate from the kingdom, from his presence, from him. We're not living this life that way. He's involved in every aspect of our life. And if something doesn't go the way we want, we can say, be thankful in all things. Why? Because God's with me in the midst of it. It must not be his will to go the way I want to go. It might not be his will that I do the things I want to do. There might be other plans that God has that are greater than mine. And I have to be willing to back off. Because if I won't obey him in the little things, when the big things come, I will not be prepared. It's a training. It's growing up. It's learning. It's something that happens on a consistent basis. Look, to say that God loves you is absolutely true. To say that you live in that love is up to us. If you accept his will, now, how do we do that? Well, I'm going to get into there later on. Go on with me in Joshua. I'm almost done for today. Hallelujah. Joshua 1. You know these scriptures. I'm getting there. Don't go away. Takes me a while. I'm slow. I'm reading my notes as I do this. All right. I'm going to show you something. Hallelujah. Verse 7 and 9. 7 and, what do I want? 7 through 9. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. In other words, do according to my will, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Amen? We want you to prosper, spirit, soul, and body. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Don't get discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't get discouraged. Things haven't been going perfectly, okay? I understand that. We're all learning. We're all being changed and transformed. We're all being, our minds being renewed. Everything is being changed in our lives. And it looks so impossible. It looks so dangerous. And it looks, oh, if I give into this, I might lose all of this. If you read the story of Job, lost his wife, lost his family, not his wife, but his children, lost his sheep, lost everything. But in the end, he gained it all and then some. See, yeah, you're going to go through some things. But don't try to hang on to those things. They're not going to build you up. They're not going to edify you. They're not going to encourage you. I like Paul when he said when they left, and he said they were never with us. I understand that. Everybody has what God intended for their life. God has a great plan for your life, every one of us. Every one of us. But we get so caught up in the world, playing in the sandbox, instead of standing on the rock. Now I want you to know about something about the rock too. Sometimes the rock gets hot. When the sun beats on it enough, when the fire hits it, it's going to get warm sometimes. It's going to get hot. But don't jump off. Stay on it. Pretty soon you'll overcome it. Why? Because you're yoked up to Jesus. Amen? And did I finish that, 1 Peter? I think I did, didn't I? He said, after you suffer a while, he's going, and actually one translation says he's going to restore you. Amen? You're going to go through some things. Stay yoked up to Jesus. Keep plowing. How do we get anything out of this? I'll tell you how. If you're going to plant, if you're going to plow the fields, you've got to plant some seeds. The seed, Mark 4, the Word of God. Those who sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Those who sow abundantly, reap abundantly. So the more of the seed of the Word is sown into the very heart and fabric of who you are, the very mind and soul and realm of your, the more you sow in there, the more you're going to reap. The less you sow, the less you reap. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's it for today. Let me read something. This is what I wrote. Just a thought came to me, and I just wrote this down. We need to quiet our souls so that we can hear the instructions of our Lord. He will guide us to safety and provide us with our needs, whatever they are. He knows where the traps of the enemy are. He knows how to lead us away from the trials and tribulations of life. Psalm 23, he said, I'm the Lord thy shepherd. He leads us beside still waters. He brings us into greener pastures. If you remember the story of Mary and Martha, it said that Martha complained to Jesus as Jesus sat in their house. She said to Jesus, hey, look at Mary. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Why don't you tell her to get up and work with me? I'm trying to feed you guys. I'm trying to take care of you, bring you water to drink, wash your feet, all this stuff. And she just sits there. Lord, tell her. You know what he said? Martha, Martha, you are so concerned, so worried about so many things. Mary chose the better thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing what he had to say. Should we stop doing the things that we're called to do? No. We still have our responsibility. He didn't chastise her because of her service. He said, your service isn't bad. He didn't say the service was bad. What he said was, there's times you need to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he's got to say. And those words bring life. And they bring health to all your flesh. That's the way of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We praise you. We give you glory. We are determined, Father God, to find a prosperous soul and come into that place where prosperity of the soul produces in us life evermore. In all the life you promised us, we receive it, Father. We ask for your help. We pray, Father, you give us strength. And where we're weak, Father, use that weakness to reveal your strength. And we pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord God, help us. We are willing, but the flesh are weak. Help us, Father, to be overcomers, more than conquerors, victorious in Christ our Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.